meticulously, while others kill on impulse.
It's Jason Voorhees.
Fred Krueger, Mother. Fred Krueger!
It's time, Michael.
When there is no more room in hell.
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother.
The dead.
What's your favorite scary movie?
We'll walk the earth.
An eternal child. I am the eater of...
No tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
The boogeyman is real.
Here's Johnny.
The blackest eyes.
Whatever you do.
The devil's eyes.
Don't fall asleep.
It's got a death curse.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Death Curse Radio. I'm your host, Nathan Barker, and joining me tonight is the Goon Squad. Kent Mullins.
Hey, guys.
And Bendy Atley.
Hey, what's going on?
Now, for tonight's episode, in honor of yesterday's 30th anniversary of Friday the 13th, Part 7, being released on May 13th, 1988, what better time than now to revisit the film and how it has been so relevant and pretty much loved by most of the fans out there for all these years. Now, Part 7 usually gets a lot of love from the fans, and rightfully so. I mean, this is the first time we see the franchise sort of step outside the box a bit, and by that, I mean, we see Tina, who is portrayed by Lar Park Lincoln, and her telekinetic powers, and she actually puts it to Jason, so which we had not seen that in parts 1 through 6, where other than part 1, of course, Jason shows up and hacks away. Now, with part 7, we still see plenty of opportunistic hacking, but along with that, Jason is up against Tina and her telekinetic powers, and she pretty much puts him to the test. So with that aspect, along with all of the love many fans have out there for Kane Hodder, and 7, of course, being his first portrayal of 4 to don the mask, are probably what does it for most fans in the big picture as far as why they love the film so much, not to mention the many awesome kills. But there are other good qualities of Part 7, which we'll get to that later, and not to mention that this movie is, I would have to say, the fucking poster child for late 80s hair and clothing styles. I mean, good Lord, Sue Blue, a.k.a. Mrs. Shepherd's hair, was like the prime example of that style. Every time I watch that film, it's just like, wow, that was some crazy shit they were wearing back in the late 80s. I mean, and Part 7 is almost over the top with that late 80s fashion as far as the trends in that film. But thinking about how 30 years have went by now and going to conventions that you guys go to, some of us go to the same ones, of course, and seeing things about Friday the 13th on social media, in the big picture, Kent, what are your initial thoughts in seeing how the film has had such a following for all these years now?
Well, I think that Part 7 is probably one of the films out of the entire franchise most loved by the fans, and I personally feel that that is primarily due to the look of Jason. It's one of the ones that you see cosplayed most often. It's one of my favorite looks for Jason. And, you know, as far as the fans go, I think it's one of the most beloved in the series, especially for those fans that are huge Kane Hodder lovers. And, you know, as we've talked in the past on other episodes, I'm not like the biggest Kane Hodder fan. I know you aren't either, Nathan. I think Ben is a huge Kane Hodder fan. Am I wrong with that, Ben?
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm leader of the Kane Hodder army.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Myself,
personally, I'm not a huge Kane Hodder fan. I like Kane Hodder. I don't have an issue with him, but he's not, you know, in my top three. But if I had to pick a Kane Hodder film from the whole franchise, I would definitely... Nah, actually, you know what, I was going to say 7, but I'd probably pick 8. But as far as the looks go, I'd pick 7, and I think that that's running along with most fans' opinion as far as the look goes. And you were right, Nathan, it does suffer from the 80s disease. This movie is eat up with the 80s. It's head to toe. It's dripping with the 80s, but... I mean, in general, I do think that the fans probably, this is a fan favorite out of the franchise easily. And as far as conventions go, I think it's probably the one I've seen cosplayed most often.
Yeah, it definitely is out there as far as the cosplay. That's for damn sure. And there's a lot of great ones out there. And whether you like the zombie Jason look or not, for some people, Jason stops at human Jason. Some people prefer zombie Jason. So whatever your choice may be, there's no right or wrong answer there. It does have a great costume. And, of course, with that in mind, with Ben being the president of Kane's fan club, of course, he's going to fucking love it regardless. But, yeah, I mean, the late 80s. Now, think about this. When you have a franchise like Friday the 13th that pretty much, for the most part, was releasing a film once a year for a fucking decade. Now, granted, there is a little gap in there. I get that. But just think about it kind of in that picture. There's a big fucking difference between fashion in 1982, 1984 to 88. I mean, holy shit. Now, with part six being a couple of years prior to that, you see the Camaro in there. You see the jean jacket. And, of course, Court and his ripped up jeans and all that. But the 80s fashions really took, like, I'm going to call it a dive after that, because some of those looks are just kind of ridiculous. Now, the people that were in their prime or living it up during that time might have a different opinion, and that's fine. But to me, this particular film was pretty much just what I call over the top with the fashion trends. I mean, when I watch it, I'm just like, wow. You look at Mrs. Shepherd's hair and you're just like, holy shit, this just screams late 80s. And that's fine. I mean, you're going to see transitions throughout the course of all these films over the decade, but it really does show you, I mean, how crazy the style changed in a short amount of time. Now, with that all being said, and of course, Ben admitting that he's the president of Kane's Army fan club, whatever you want to call it. So 30 years later now, what are your thoughts, Ben? I mean, you love the film, obviously. You're out and about. You're talking to people. I mean, what are your thoughts now, 30 years later?
Well, I think the film has definitely held up well amongst the other Fridays. I mean, besides the fashion, obviously. You know, when Maddie's putting her makeup on and she's getting all done up thinking she's, you know, real hot stuff. And it's pretty laughable. But, you know, 30-something years later, I mean, what is everyone's favorite kill? Everybody still comes back to, you know, the sleeping bag kill. I think that's one of the most probably memorable moments of the film. But I mean, it had awesome effects. It had awesome kills, and that holds up. I mean, when else did we see Jason with a giant weed whacker, you know, and all the spikes, the party horn through the eye. And I would say really besides Kane Hodder, I think it had a great cast, you know, aside from that, a great horror cast. William Butler went on to do, you know, Night of Living Dead, Chainsaw Massacre 3. I know Heidi Kozak was in like Slumber Party Massacre. Robin, I think, was in Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2. So it really had a lot of horror people that, you know, you could see in other slasher films of that time. And I think that's kind of appealing to the film also. You know, it has a great cast. John Kaiser from Weekend at Bernie's, you know, Dr. Cruz. So, I mean, great kills, great cast. And of course, Kane Hodder, you know. The first time you see him, he comes out of that water. You know, it's a different Jason. And, you know, he really took it to a whole nother level, a lot better than, well, okay, that's me saying better than CJ, but a lot different than CJ. CJ may have started the zombie, but Kane really made it kind of, you know, his own, obviously. So I think it's a great film. It is one of my favorites, definitely top five Fridays. I don't know. I like the supernatural. I think the series needed that, hitting the seventh film. I mean, they had to keep up with Freddy, and, you know, Hellraiser was getting ready to come out. All supernatural horror was getting there, you know?
Yeah. And I think that might be one of the reasons why they went that direction with it. Now, typically, I'm not a huge fan of the supernatural shit. I don't dislike it by any means, but I'm a slasher kind of a guy. So when Seven stepped outside the box, I'm like, eh, you know, okay. But it works for me. I have no problem with it. Like I said, normally not a huge fan of that, but it gives you everything that we're used to seeing in a Friday film, which is Jason showing up and just fucking people up in the woods. Like you said, what a lot of people refer to as the best kill of the franchise is in that film. One of my favorite kills in the franchise is in that film. And of course, that's the axe to the forehead and getting thrown across the living room. That's fucking badass. So like you said, variety of kills in there. Jason is an opportunist, and he takes full fucking advantage of that in part seven. And of course, we do still see the traditional machete briefly. And actually, fun fact about that, I have actually seen the Part 7 screen use machete and actually held it and got a picture with it. It is now owned by James Azriel over at the HSPPA, who attends a lot of Midwest conventions, primarily between the Chicago and Indianapolis areas, and with a large display of all types of movie props. So definitely check out James if you happen to be at one of the shows he's at this year. He's got some awesome shit, or you can check out the HISPA Facebook page. But yeah, I mean, you said it too, Ben. Great cast. Bad News Cruise, Terry Kaiser, I mean, Bill Butler, Jennifer Banco even went on to be in TCM3 and some other stuff. Sue Blue, great addition. Of course, Kane Hodder. We didn't know that Kane was going to go on and star three more times as Jason. And I was having a conversation last night about Kane's portrayal. And there are some things that I like and dislike about that. But rather than nitpick the little things, what we were kind of discussing in the big picture is Kane was a fan of the franchise, and he enthusiasm to the character. I mean, you can really see, even though he's wearing a costume, he's wearing a mask. And when I watch that film, I see his enthusiasm and his energy in that character. Now, some people are a fan or not a fan of the labored breathing and some of the exaggerated movements, but in the big picture, it really, to me, shows how excited he was to portray that character. I don't know what you guys' thought is on that. I mean, Ben, since you're such a big fan of Kane, I'll let you go with that one.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think, like you said, you can kind of see it through the makeup that he cared about the character. I mean, Kane's a horror fan, obviously, before Friday the 13th. So for him to step into it, I think it was... I mean, you know, I don't know really about, like, you know, Ted White or some of the other actors, but I know that they didn't really know Jason or maybe, you know, care about the character the way that Kane did getting that role. And I know that he was pretty good friends with the director. So they vibed very well. You know, the makeup that he wore, he brought it to life. There's a scene when Tina's shooting the nails at him, and he kind of pulls it out of his forehead. And I just, the look that he gives her, it's, I don't know if we've seen Jason kind of give, you know, the final girl that look. I mean, I guess maybe because his mask was off, but really good stuff. I think, yeah, you can tell that he was passionate about the role, you know, that he was willing to do it again and again and again. Like, I don't know. He really cared about it. You could tell.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you brought up the unmasked portion, because I was going to touch on that a little bit later. Is you really see that, like you said, in the unmasked portion, not just with the nails to the head, but the whole entire time when the mask breaks in half. I mean, there is definitely some anger. Jason is fucking mad, and you can tell that plain as day. It's not just him standing there and seeing this ugly ass face and, oh shit, this dude's going to fuck us up. I mean, you see it in his mannerisms and everything, and I think they did an excellent job with that. Some of the mannerisms, I think, are a little over the top throughout the film, but that's just a matter of opinion. It doesn't make me dislike it by any means. And with a lot of the labored breathing that some people don't associate with a zombie character, I mean, how many zombie characters do you see huffing and puffing like they just ran a marathon? But then again, when you add the supernatural aspect into it and things of that nature, you just kind of have to take it, you know, however it is that you see it. And I don't really have any direct issue with that. I mean, I may think some of it was a little bit much, but it is what it is, and a lot of people love it. So. But yeah, I mean, great cast. And I know there's some things that Kent doesn't like about the film, and we'll get to that in a minute. But for me, like I said, I'm not a huge fan of the supernatural idea behind the telekinesis and all that, but it works. It's a great film. Last night, like I said, when I was having a discussion with somebody else, we were just kind of talking that it's a great Friday night. Turn the lights off, make some popcorn, hit the couch, and watch a Friday film. It has a lot of good stuff in it, lots of good kills. One of the main criticisms I have, of course, is since Jason was underneath the lake, and of course, Friday's not known for continuity, correct continuity issues, but with this one, when he goes to the bottom in six, they at least could have done better with the mask. I mean, come on. That's definitely been a criticism for a lot of people. It's definitely one of mine. They could have did better with that. As far as that is concerned, beyond the costume, I'm fine with that. But not that it's of any fault of John Carl or anybody on the film. Actually, we'll have to blame the ratings board as far as this criticism, because they just fucking destroyed the gore, the good gore, and removed all the good shit. And unfortunately, as you guys know, we're not going to be able to see a director's cut of that because it just doesn't exist. So, I mean, yeah, fuck off ratings board for destroying the film, because that, I have a feeling it would have been totally kick ass. And like I said, I know that there's some things that you don't like, Kent, so maybe we can touch on criticisms as far as whatever your opinion is on that with this film.
Well, you know, you were talking about continuity. Honestly, as far as just Jason, the character, goes, I think that the continuity between part 6 and 7 is probably the best in the franchise, with the exception of 3 and from 3 to 4. And that's saying something. I know that, you know, they ditched the gloves and, yeah, the mask changed a little bit, but with the exception of that, actually, you know, I'm thinking about it, and they also lost the darts and the utility belt and everything. But, and in comparison to other movies, the continuity with Jason himself was probably the best, just because it changes so drastically, you know, from 7 to 8 and then from 8 to 9, and are, you know, going from 4 to 6, since you're skipping 5, the look itself would be, you know, I would say like 60% accurate, which is better than most of the other films. So the continuity of Jason himself isn't one of my main criticisms of the movie. My biggest issue with it, like you mentioned, is the fact that the MPAA absolutely fucking raped this movie. And that's at no fault of, you know, John Carl Buechler or Kane Hodder or anybody. And I've never had an issue with Kane Hodder's performance as Jason. It's just, I'm not a fan of the Friday the 13th, the movies themselves that he has been in. But, yeah, that's probably my biggest complaint, is it's just so tame in comparison to most of the other movies. There's always this huge buildup in the movie to a kill, and then it just kind of falls flat, as far as I'm concerned. There's never really much of a gory payoff, and that's coming from somebody who isn't even really a gore hound. But, you know, the most infamous kill in the Friday the 13th franchise, the sleeping bag kill, even that was toned down. I think originally he had hit her like 10 or something times, but it was cut down like a third of what it originally was, which is why they revisited it in X. But, I mean, aside from that, I'm also not a fan of the supernatural, not the supernatural element. I don't have an issue with you know, Jason be a zombie and all that shit. It's the Carrie ripoff. Not a huge fan of that at all. And it just kind of seemed, there's just a lot of silly stuff that, and, you know, that's pretty common in Friday the 13th movies too, but I really don't have an issue with it in the other ones, but I do in this one. Just like, why is her dad still in the lake? Like, at the end of the movie, you know, he was 5 feet off the shore. Are the cops that incompetent? He's in like 4 foot of water, but they can't go get the body. And what are the chances of her dad even drowning in the one lake where Jason is hanging out at, you know, I guess kind of in hibernation, really, that the one actual telekinetic, you know, psychic Carrie girl in the world would be able to, you know, come across him. It's just, there's a whole lot you gotta buy into, and I just don't buy it. But, you know, like I said, it is probably my favorite look for Jason. If I'm just going off just aesthetics, it's fucking amazing, man, especially that scene, him coming up out of the water, that spine showing. I love it. I love the look. It's just, you know, for me, the movie itself just kind of fell flat. It didn't deliver for me. And I know that's not the normal opinion of a Friday the 13th fan. This film is extremely loved. But there's also, you know, there's a scene or two that I really, really enjoy and love in this installment. Like the unmasking at the end. I love that we spend, you know, a solid like 5 minutes of Jason without the hockey mask. That had never been done before. and hasn't been done since. It's the only movie that does that, where he's just running around willy-nilly without a hockey mask at all, in good lighting, not in the dark either, not in the shadows. You're seeing everything, man. And I thought that was really cool. And, you know, like Ben said, it gave Kane a chance to emote through something that isn't just a hockey mask. And I love that aspect of it. But overall, you know, as a whole, for me personally, the movie just kind of, it's just boring. And I'm not a fan of the Carrey aspect.
Well, I do agree with some of that. And like I said earlier, I'm not big into the supernatural side of it. And by that, I don't really mean by the zombie Jason, because I fucking love part six. But with the telekinesis and all that, you know, it works for me. The first couple times I remember seeing the movie, I'm like, what the fuck is this? I mean, it's not classic Friday if you think about the earlier installments. And by that, we're kind of missing out on some campfire scenes. We're missing out on the cabin, the traditional Friday shit. I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about. It's just like, yeah, all of a sudden we're, this girl is going to go out to the childhood home with the doctor, and there's people partying next door, and they don't really, I think, do a real good job of placing the classic Friday element in that film. And I think that's what loses it for me for a portion of it, but it's a good watch nonetheless. I do like it outside of the ratings board fucking just raping the shit out of it. You're right. The kills are there. You're just not getting the gore aspect of it that would complete the kill scene, but it's still a good watch for me. There's a lot of good stuff in the film, but I can certainly understand your aspect, and I don't disagree with that, because I feel the same way on parts of it, but overall I think the movie works. So now Ben's probably not going to think about any of that because he's so stuck on being Kane's vice president. So I'll let you fill us in on your opinions as far as that goes there, Ben.
Oh, boy. Well, fuck. I really don't know what to say, though. Fuck.
Well, I mean, either you agree or you disagree. Either way, I mean, if you think that it works all the way through, then so be it. I mean, I definitely wouldn't fault you for that. I just know that if you're partial to Kane, like you are, then you might kind of not look into it kind of how we are, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah. I disagree with what Kent said. He said it was kind of boring, and I mean, I don't know how it could be boring, because we have so many, maybe new elements. Maybe it is missing some Crystal Lake things, but we got some new Crystal Lake things. I think, you know, some of the earlier films, we just have teenagers out partying in part four. It's never really explained why they're there. And I mean, this one, there was a birthday party. It gave us, you know, a reason why the teens were going out there. Tina had her reason for being out there. So, I mean, I kind of like the whole, you know, there was a party. There was a birthday party going on. So that's why they were out there.
True. However, hang on, though. But I like where you're going with that. And I agree that it does put substance to it. But you and I both know, why the fuck do we need a reason to party? We just party.
Come yeah. On.
Well, yeah, exactly. I know that. But why drive all the way out there to party? I mean, you know, why not just party? But yeah, I mean, okay, so they were giving us a little bit of a story. Tina had a story, you know, a little bit of a backstory, not really like Chris's, you know, involving Jason, but she had a backstory involving Crystal Lake. So I always think that was interesting. I don't know how you can't have a good time with this particular Friday. I mean, Fridays are supposed to be a good time, and this one was just a hoot. I mean, if you know, she can make tree branches come and grab Jason and everything, I, Jason met his match. So I enjoyed it. I think, you know, Tina was a great final girl. Yeah, she had one up with the powers, but I mean, she really kicked his ass. I do agree about the whole dad and the lake thing. That is my number one gripe with this entire film, was the ending. And we know, you know, the ratings board kind of had, you know, to do with that. But I don't like that at all. I don't feel the ending really resolved it at all. I mean, Tina and Jason were going at it, and then her dead dad just ends it, and Jason's gone. So
the ending, that, like, you know, at the point when that happened, and this is just being super nitpicky and just kind of, you know, being lighthearted about it, but the motherfucker had been dead, like, at that point, 13 years? 12, 13, 14 years, is that safe to say?
Right, right.
Underwater, and he's still, like, he looks like he's been underwater, like, maybe 4 days.
Like, well, yeah. But, I mean, not to mention, it's just fucking ridiculous in the first place. I mean, shit, Jason was just blown the fuck up in a house, and now all of a sudden, the dad who looks like he's been dead 4 days in the water is going to show up and put the icing on the cake. I mean, it's just fucking ridiculous. I don't think it had anything to do with the ratings board at that point. It was just ridiculousness as far as the writing goes. I mean, come on. It would have been better just to leave fucking dad in the water and not have him there and just let it be thought that Jason just blew up in the house. You know what I mean?
I would have enjoyed it more if it had ended like that.
Oh, yeah. I would have enjoyed it if just, you know, fucking Nick would have just taken him out or something, you know, more realistic than the dad. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was just fucking ridiculous. It doesn't ruin it for me. But it's just kind of some bullshit, and I'm glad that you actually mentioned that, because that was going to be one of my last criticisms, essentially, of the film, other than, like I said, there's some things that don't do it for me either, but I still find the film watchable, and I enjoy it. It's not one of my favorites by any means, but there's a lot going on in there that I do like. I just wish we could have seen what the ratings board cut out, because I think it would have been a great addition, obviously. Because, like you said, some of it just falls fucking flat. I mean, you
and
see
you know,
this.
You said that. I honest to God, I really do believe that if I could have seen the director's cut, what they had originally, I think that my opinion of this would be drastically different. Because I believe that what they had originally was far, far superior to what ended up on screen. I think that, like I said, most of my issues with the movie, I lie no blame or fault in the director or any of the actors or actresses. This movie falling flat, I blame 150,000% on the MPAA.
Of course,
because
yeah.
Because what they came out with was far superior to what was released.
Well, and you know that it was, because obviously it's out of their control. I've seen little bits and clips here and there. It's, of course, it's real grainy, but you get the idea that it would have been much better to have the clipped out portions in the film. Now, would it have made it, would it have changed your mind and you would have been like, oh, this is a fucking badass movie, I love it, blah, blah, blah? No, probably not. I mean, what you're saying as far as what you dislike in the film, pretty much, I mean, that's just substance in itself. I don't think it would make a whole lot of difference as far as where you would place it on the totem pole. But it would definitely make it more watchable for somebody who's kind of teetering on it. But either way, the film, I think, definitely had its relevance at the time. Like Ben mentioned, what was going on with the horror genre in general, Friday needed to do something, because it was getting, I guess, yeah, we can go ahead and call it kind of monotonous as far as Jason's going to show up, he's going to hack these people. They did need to mix it up a little bit. And I agree, like you said, with Kane, this would definitely be my favorite film that Kane is in. Unfortunately, with Kane playing Jason 4 times, he got what most fans would deem as the least favorite. Now, I know Ben's a big fucking Kane fan, so all Kane's movies are going to be 1, 2, 3, and 4 probably on his list. But in the big picture, when you get somebody who's not obsessed with Jason Goes to Hell like Ben, most people would say, outside of probably 7, maybe 8 for the most part, Kane's films, and it's no fault of his, it's just they were the lesser liked out of all of the installments. But this one, to me, definitely is his best as far as that goes.
See, for me, by far, my favorite Friday the 13th that Kane was in was Manhattan. I just think Manhattan's fun. I don't think it's, you know, a brilliant film or anything. I just enjoy watching it. You know, I watch probably every Friday the 13th film that Kane isn't in at least 4, 5, 6 times a year. And out of all of the films, I probably watch 7 and probably 7 and Jason Goes to Hell the least. But yeah, I agree with everything you said.
All right, Ben, where are you at now that we kind of picked on you a little bit?
Well, in my defense, I agree. with the films, the New Line films, but I think Kane Hodder was only in one Friday the 13th film, and then he was in three Jason films. You know, Jason Takes Manhattan, Jason Goes to Hell, and Jason X. This is the only film that we really see him at Crystal Lake. And I mean, I always wonder, of course, what would it have been like if he played Jason, you know, in part four or part six, a human Jason or however you want to say it. But this is his only Friday the 13th film. This is the only one where he's at camp and where he's in the woods.
That's true.
So, you know, he's still my favorite Jason. But
well, I'm glad that you said about Kane playing human Jason, because I always said, or have always said, and I'll maintain this if anybody ever asks, Kane would have been a badass human Jason. I think he would have been more effective as human Jason with his breathing and his mannerisms and the energy. And
well, you know, we kind of got a taste of that with the game.
Of course. I was just going to say that.
Oh, yeah.
With Kane portraying, you know, all of the Jasons in the game, we get kind of a little glimpse into what may have been or what could have been if Kane had portrayed a human Jason.
Yeah, I think he would have been right on the money for that. No disrespect to Richard or Ted or anybody else for that matter, but I think he would have been a great fit for actual human Jason. But like I said, with CJ and the portrayal that you see in Six and the more militaristic movements and so on and so forth, it's a drastic difference to see Kane's portrayal. Some people, they don't care for it. Others, like Ben, they get off on that. So it is what it is. Yeah, I mean, and to each their own. I'm not going to knock it. It's all a matter of opinion. And when you have 12 fucking films, there's something for everybody with Friday. And that's what I love about it.
You know, one thing I think that the film has really going for it and that all the fans really enjoy is kind of the kick-ass intro kind of montage catch us up, you know, in the previous six films. And, of course, it was done by Crazy Ralph, Walter Gurney, who just knocked it out of the park and really sets it up, gets you kind of spooked, you know, oh, shit, you know, all this happened prior to this film. You know, this Jason guy is a badass, you know.
Oh, definitely. And that is something that I was probably going to bring up, too, is the prologue, I guess, if you want to call it that. It is a great rendition of all the things seen previously, and it sets up the film nicely. I definitely would agree with that. So, but yeah, I mean, 30th anniversary, shit, it's crazy to even think that it's been 30 years other than when you see the crazy hairstyles and all that shit. So, just wrapping up, final thoughts. I mean, anything you guys want to say in honor of the anniversary or just anything in general to wrap this up? Kent, I'll let you go first. Just reflection on the anniversary.
Well, you know, I would like to say that I know that it seems like I've been a little bit hard on the film, but I do want to end with letting the people know that I do enjoy this movie enough to the point that I did propose to my wife dressed as Part 7 Jason at a convention.
Oh, well, Jesus.
Nice. And I've got pictures, and I'll even, my wife was 8.5 months pregnant at the time, so she looks like a little bowling ball, and she's wearing a remake, Friday the 13th remake shirt, but I did take a knee and propose in full Part 7 getup in the middle of a convention.
I remember that now. I totally forgot about that shit. That's pretty fucking awesome, actually, even though Kane's not your fucking boy like Ben here.
And so, you know, it'll always have a special place for me. It does have sentimental value to me. I love the idea of this movie more than I do the movie itself. But all in all, you know, it's a Friday the 13th movie, and I love Friday the 13th. And I'll never have bad thoughts about it. It's just not, of the whole franchise, it's not my favorite. And, you know, as I said, I don't think that's at any fault of the director or the actors. I think that what they envisioned and what they even wanted to release is not even remotely close to what we got. And that's unfortunate. And it's unfortunate that we'll never get to see the fruits of their labors because of the, you know, bitch ass MPAA. But
yeah, definitely.
Not my favorite of the franchise, but it'll always have a special place in my heart.
Well, with that story that you just shared, I mean, it has to have a special place. I mean, come on.
Absolutely. It's I'm going to die with this woman. So obviously it's going to mean something to me.
Well, yeah, there you go. That's definitely a prime example of it's got to mean something. So, yep, that's definitely a good story and shows that it does have some relevance with you, and it's had relevance all these years. Now, Ben, obviously I know you're a big fan, but just final thoughts on the celebration of this anniversary.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, it's a great film for anybody that, crazy enough, you know, hasn't seen it. I wouldn't let the supernatural kind of aspect of it, you know, scare you away. This was actually one of the first Fridays that I saw. I remember buying this, this and Halloween 5. And I watched this one over and over and over. I never watched Halloween 5. I think for anybody that hasn't seen it, this is the first Friday that I actually showed my girlfriend. And she saw it like, wow, that's badass. Let's watch the next one. And it's like, you know, we're going to Manhattan after this. Let's go backwards. but I think with the effects, the makeup, I think it was so well done. I think maybe with a younger generation and the kind of over the top Kane Hodder portrayal of him, I think it's still appealing to the younger crowd, the younger generation. I think if you showed an 18-year-old part 7 and you showed them part 1, I think they would have a better time watching part 7. I think that, you know, they might get bored with, you know, some of the original films. So overall, I think it's a good film. It was a great entry in the series. You know, getting towards the end of Paramount's life with it. So they were trying everything they could. But I think overall they did a great job. It sucks we don't get to see what they wanted, but I'm still happy with it. And of course it brought us Kane Hodder, so why can't you be happy with it?
Well, there you go. And just for me, I guess final thoughts would be I can certainly see why part 7 is still relevant and why it is loved by the fans. Of course, there's things that I don't like with every film, but with this one, like you said, I think you just kind of have to ignore the fact that it does have the supernatural aspect of it with the telekinesis and all that, and just watch it for what it is. And just know that the reason why we don't get to see the good shit is because the ratings board cut the shit out. So if that would have been there, yeah, of course, it would have made a big difference as far as that goes. But it's just a great watch in general. There's a lot of good shit in there. Like I said, with the opportunistic side of Jason taking advantage of everything that's there and not just seeing axes and machetes and them just stepping outside the box from what we've seen in 1 through 6. I think it definitely has its place, and I can certainly see why it's had all the love that it's had for the last 30 years. And outside of the over-the-top 80s styles, I mean, really, that's the only thing. Like you said, if a young person now watches that film, they might be like, well, you know, that's a little ridiculous. I mean, they might not care for that look because it is such a dated look to that era. And then, of course, if you back up to part 1, maybe even part 2, they might be like, yeah, not really a big fan. I'd rather see this monster just going to town on these people and with all the cool effects. And, of course, the badass ending where we get to see him unmasked, and hats off to Kane Hodder. That just shows how great of a stuntman he was, because he took a fucking ass beating in this film. That guy, they put the screws to him. I mean, he did so many crazy stunts, and of course being set on fire and all the falls and everything falling on him and everything. I mean, he really took a beating. So hats off to Kane Hodder as far as that goes. So like I said, definitely it's not in my top 3 by any means, but I'm okay with the film. I watch it every so often. I happened to watch it on the anniversary yesterday. It was the first thing I did as soon as I got up, morning coffee, popped in part 7 and watched it again. And it's always something that I like to revisit every so often. And it is what it is. So I'm not the president of Kane Hodder's fan club by any means like Ben is, but I'm definitely okay with the film. I enjoy it. It's a good watch. And yeah, I think it's going to be relevant for many, many, many years to come.
You know, as the president of the Derek Mears fan club, I can still respect Kane Hodder's performance.
Absolutely. So, hey, you know what? I guess I'll have to be a president of somebody's fan club too. So if you're going to
take CJ.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. All right. There we go. That's another topic. So, yeah, I mean, definitely crazy to think that it's been 30 years, especially, like I said, with all the films. I mean, it's almost every year we have an anniversary or something when you have that many films, but just crazy to think, wow, it has been 30 years since that is one of the later installments of the original. But like I said, I think it's definitely going to hold its place in Friday history for many years down the road with new fans and, of course, with old fans. But that wraps up another episode of Death Curse Radio. So please rate and review wherever the hell you listen to the show at. And check us out on Facebook at Death Curse Radio. Or you can check us out on our website, deathcurseradio.com. This episode was brought to you by Friday the 13th, Part 7. And Kane Hodder's fan club president, Ben Diatley. Until next time.
Evil lurks in the mind of a bad man.
This is... friend.
Your suffering will be legendary even in hell. What the prime time, bitch?
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.
Candyman,
eternal.
Because I've seen enough horror movies to know any weirdo wearing a mask is never friendly.
That is better.
I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Some folks have strange ideas.